Craig Phillips is here with me today. He's going to talk about the new album from his Grammy-nominated vocal ensemble, New York Polyphony. Now, local listeners here just might remember that group from their appearance at Bowling Green State University several years ago. Craig, welcome to FM 91. Good to talk with you again.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. This new album is called Lamentaciones. It's from the Lamentations of Jeremiah. And it's music by, well, two Spanish composers, one Portuguese composer of the Renaissance period. And I have to admit, before we even get started, you know, the 15th century, 16th century Spain is not my strong point. So you're going to have to kind of lead me through all of this.
Sure.
Yeah. Although I have been listening to the album, and there's some remarkable music on here. It's really a journey of discovery, listening to the works on this disc. I wonder if you can start by just giving us an overview and talking about these composers that you've included.
Sure. In terms of Spanish Renaissance composers, we tend to know the composers of the generation that follows Peñalosa, who's kind of the lead guy on this disc. So we know Victoria and, to maybe a lesser extent, Guerrero. So this is kind of a deeper dive, and we have found in singing this repertoire that this is material that people need to know more about. If you're thinking contemporaneously, Peñalosa was writing about the same time as Josquin. So, you know, the Frankish Flemish school really kind of dominates and overshadows some of the activity in other regions, in Spain in particular. Peñalosa and Escobar, one of the reasons why we don't know as much about them, unlike some other contemporaries in other regions, their music did not travel. So in the case of Peñalosa, the two lamentation settings, I believe, only exist in two manuscripts total at the Tarazona Cathedral. So you didn't really have a lot of dissemination of this material outside of Spain. And I believe the same is true of Escobar. We do include a Guerrero piece on the disc as just kind of a comparative tool. And, you know, when we're arranging music, we want it to be as much of an album experience as possible. So it's not just kind of a laundry list of repertoire.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of stuff sort of going on behind the curtain, as it were, in the way that you've chosen and arranged the pieces on this particular recording. As you mentioned, the Guerrero sort of being the, you know, the mirror that you can view the other pieces in to a certain extent. Talk a little bit more about Francisco de Peñalosa, because there's some remarkable stuff on here that I hadn't heard before, including the cuts from his Misa Lomarme, which is, you know, just about everybody was writing one of those back in the day.
Yes. Well, in terms of biography, we don't know too much about Peñalosa. We do know that later in his life he was reprimanded because he was traveling too much and going to Rome and whatnot. So he wasn't actually in a station. So that's kind of an interesting little tidbit about him personally. The Mass, believe it or not, has never been recorded, and neither have the lamentation settings. So I believe we do three of the movements. If you know the ensemble, the Orlando Consort, on a disc they released a couple of years ago, they actually recorded the Credo, which is kind of how that got on our radar and thought, oh, we should really look at this. Just in terms of his output, there's not a lot that survives, and the Mass in particular is interesting because I think you can hear in it that he was using every crayon in the box. And, you know, you look at these other composers that set or at least based Masses on this tune, and it clearly was somewhat of a challenge, like a challenge to composers. And Peñalosa, in many instances, is forward-thinking. I mean, you can hear kind of his use of imitation, some of which is sequential, that almost begins to sound Baroque. In terms of the demands on the singer, the tessituras are pretty wide. It's very florid in places. We loved putting this up against the Lamentation settings because it's such a stark contrast.
Yeah.
You have something that moves, I think in the notes, Ivan Moody wrote something about a kaleidoscope of sound. But then you move to the Lamentation settings and there's just stark economy, which, you know, you would think would lead to something that was just very staid. But it really exposes Penuelos's genius, because understand that these composers were writing in a very, very strict rule-based compositional system, what you could and couldn't do in terms of dissonances and voices against voices. And so I like to say that in the Lamentations, there's not a wasted note. And sometimes when you're hearing it, if you really pay close attention, you know, he will go down to two voices at a time or three voices at a time. But the way he voices, you just get this kind of almost imposed structure that it fools the ear into thinking you're hearing something much larger than is actually happening. And it's really fascinating.
Yeah. And you know, you sort of have to think outside the box while staying in the box, as it were.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And listening to the piece, I mean, it has all of this stimulation in terms of musicality and what the composer is doing, but just on the surface level, it's an extremely effective piece of sacred choral literature. And mm-hmm. I can imagine people listening to this during Holy Week and really, you know, feeling the presence of the Spirit through this music.
Absolutely. And I think it's really fascinating to consider some of the later Lamentation settings when composers were a little freer to, you know, stray into what later we'd call madrigalism, you know, really trying to text paint. Penuelos doesn't ever resort to that, partly because of the you know, restrictions at the time and where he was writing in the continuum of this form, for sure, Renaissance polyphony. And yet, he still manages to convey such depth and such pain and suffering. It's really spectacular how much he can do with so little, in a sense.
Yeah. I want to go back just briefly to that Missa L'Homme. You've got three different tracks here from Penuelos's setting of that mass, including the final track on your CD, the Agnus Dei. And what strikes me right away is that you hear the melody, but it's soaring way high above everybody else, and then there's this completely different thing going on underneath. It's an interesting juxtaposition.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to just play the opening of it so we can listen to it for a second. I think it's really interesting the way that the music grows out of that melody and that tonality. And that first little turn of phrase toward the beginning, it almost sounds a little modern in some ways. It's a really interesting piece.
Yes, and we encounter actually in other sections, especially in the Gloria movement. It's, you know, if we're so... let's just say we're often soaking in this music because we do so much of it, and our repertoire that we perform on the road is so wide. It's easy to forget where in the timeline of composition these works fall, because there's some really, really forward thinking parts to it, and sounds like you said, much more modern.
Well, you said the Credo had been recorded, but you made the premiere recordings of the other selections. You didn't have to go to Spain to find this music, did you now? I mean, is it available?
Well, the discovery of this music is actually what can I say? Not boring is not the right word, but it was a strike of good luck. Yeah. We happened to be looking for some new repertoire, and I should explain that New York Polyphony, over the course of our time together, and believe it or not, we're entering our 14th season, which is just hard to believe.
Wow.
We've made an effort to find music that we feel was intended for our voice types. And so we're looking for music that was intended to be sung by just men's voices as opposed to men and boys, or adding trebles and just transposing it down. So we were just kind of open to the idea of taking on some new repertoire. And I happened to be in a library in Greensboro, North Carolina, where I was finishing my doctorate. And I literally walked by one of the Opera Omnia recent publications, scholarly editions of Penulosa Lamentations. And I thought, Penulosa Lamentations? And I pulled it off the shelf and opened it up. And even just looking at the spread of voices and how the stratification worked, it jumped off the page. It looked like it was written for us. And so we kind of auditioned the piece in some concerts, and we instantly fell in love with it. I mean, it was just a spectacular, really lucky break. And we've been in contact. It was the edition was prepared by an Australian musicologist named Jane Hardy, and we have her blessing for this recording. In fact, she just received it, and she's over the moon. Mm-hmm. So it was a kind of a lucky find.
Yeah. Now, how did you choose the other two composers that you included on the disc?
As I recall, I think we built out from the Lamentations. Generally, we vet repertoire in concerts before we determine if it's something that you know we have an affinity toward and we want to record. So we started with the Lamentations, and then we took to it pretty quickly. And there were actually three settings of the Lamentations. The other setting, which would be Feria 4, we recorded Feria 5 and 6. The voicing was different, didn't fit us as well, so we stuck with these two. And from there, we tried to build the program, looked at some other Penulosa. There's actually a collection of smaller motet works for fewer voices. We have a trio on the disc. So we had some other material that we kind of put around it, some of Penulosa's contemporaries, staying in Spain so we could kind of get the compositional idiom to cohere. It was out of the Lamentations that kind of led us to the other parts. And like I said, you know, the Penulosa Missa Lomame was published. I can't remember the publisher. Mm. And so that seemed to be an easy fit. And that was another piece too, that when we first sang through it, we were just shocked that this wasn't more popular than it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, maybe you'll rectify that situation with this recording. I know that the space in which you perform and in which you record is certainly just as important as anything else that goes into the disc, and it's a lovely sound that you have. I mean, you don't sound so much like a quartet as you sound like, you know, an entire full choir of male singers. It's mm-hmm. Remarkable how it's been captured. Where did you make this particular recording?
We recorded at a place in Princeton, New Jersey. It's now called the Princeton Abbey, and it is a decommissioned friary that's on a lovely green space. It's surrounded by cemetery grounds, and we first discovered it, actually. We recorded two CDs ago, Sing Thee Noel, our Grammy-nominated Christmas disc. We recorded there at the suggestion of an engineer friend of ours who actually is based in Princeton. He said, oh, you need to go check this place out. And at the time, we were all based in New York City. So it was an easy trip down. And even just the beauty of the space, which, you know, I know that sounds ridiculous, but having something that really has aesthetic appeal kind of elevates the experience and adds an extra layer of magic to the performing and recording. So we were so pleased with the results of that record. We wanted to go back. And in fact, we had intended to go back to record our disc that followed Sing Thee Noel, Roma Eterna. But for some reason, the schedules didn't align, or they were doing maintenance or something. So we made a decision to a very good decision to record at the St. Cecilia Cathedral in Omaha, Nebraska. Uh-huh. But this disc, this repertoire just fits this space so well. It's a wider, lots of wood surfaces. So the sound is really kind of warm and glowing. And what you can't hear is we recorded the disc last summer during a historic heat wave. So the heat index, I think at one point, was around 110 degrees. And to get the acoustic to be as pristine as possible, we had to shut every window, turn off every fan, turn off air conditioning. So what you can't hear is us really suffering. We were actually concerned when we were recording it that it was going to negatively impact our performance, but it kind of magically did the opposite. I think that there was an extra level of just, it really focused our attention. And we joke that because it, you know, Iberian Peninsula polyphony, maybe we were getting a little historical performance practice if these Spanish cathedrals were sweltering. It's like maybe that's how it was supposed to be performed.
Well, your next disc, you can record in Alaska, find some music that fits that. Now,
yes.
You record for a Swedish record label. Do they send over engineer, or how does that work? Or do you do recordings and send it to them?
Actually, we have an engineer, a good friend who's been with us from the beginning of our relationship with BIS, named Jens Braun. And he comes over, and BIS, because they're committed to, you know, super audio and very high resolution audio formats, they're very particular about the quality of the equipment that they use. So they have a couple of sets of really high end, expensive equipment that they ship to wherever we are, and Jens does his magic and sets everything up so we can get the best sound that we can. It's funny, the disc is available in, I think it's a 24-bit full lossless audio codec surround sound 5.1, which is really exciting. We've never heard that surround sound experience. So we're hoping one day to actually hear what that's all about.
Craig Phillips has been talking with me. He's from the Grammy-nominated vocal ensemble New York Polyphony, and they have a new recording out, The Lamentations of Francisco de Peñalosa. A few other composers on there as well. It's a wonderful recording from the BIS record label. We'll link to all of that on our website at wgte.org. Craig, thanks so much for spending time with us today.
Well, thank you. It's been my pleasure.